Welcome to the Intimate Marriage Podcast, where I teach educated, successful couples how to have incredible, passionate relationships so that you can stop compromising and start feeling fully alive in your relationship. I'm your host, Alexandra Stockwell, aka the Intimacy Doctor. I'm a physician and an intimate marriage expert. My husband and I have been married for 26 years. We have 4 children and full professional lives, and we've created an amazing relationship. I've also shown hundreds of couples how to do so as well. If you want to deepen your understanding of your own relationship and learn to access new heights of emotional, sensual, and erotic intimacy, you're in the right place. I will show you how. Now let's dive in. Choose happiness. That is the title of today's episode. Welcome, my loyal listeners. Welcome, people coming back to listen for the second, third, fifth, sixth episode. And welcome to you if this is the first podcast of mine you've ever listened to. Today, we are diving in to choose happiness. And really, it seems like a pretty simple, straightforward concept. But to me, it never has been. I'm going to share something. It's a little bit vulnerable. I don't think I've ever spoken it in any context. So I'm telling you. When I was 18, I went to college and I took a lot of philosophy classes, reading great books, starting with Socrates, Plato, Aristotle, and studying a number of the important contributors to the Western canon. And right there with the ancient Greeks, I encountered the idea that the purpose of life is happiness, and that all human beings seek happiness. This is a recurring theme in the contributions of philosophers through the ages. Someone in our times, the Dalai Lama, he said, "As human beings, we all want to be happy." This is something that the philosophers have taken for granted. It doesn't need explanation. Once that's understood, then they proceed to teach in various ways, various aspects, how do we find happiness and what holds us back and things along those lines. But I have to say, when I was 18, when I was 19, I actually found this confusing. It wasn't clear to me that all human beings seek happiness, want happiness, because simply put, throughout my life, I had seen far more often people making choices, thinking thoughts, feeling feelings, taking actions, making decisions in how they talked about themselves, talked to themselves, spoke with other people, habits, how they use their time, all the things that as a child one can observe and just notice. And when I saw how the people around me were behaving, it did not look like what they really wanted was happiness, because they were doing so many things that did not actually create happiness in their lives. So when I got to college and encountered this idea that all human beings want to be happy, I was a little bit skeptical about that. Okay, fast forward, I'm now 53 years old. For decades, I've been showing individuals and couples how to have meaningful, juicy, passionate relationships, how to fall in love with themselves in order to be available for a really loving relationship with a partner. I have to say, it doesn't always have to happen in that sequence, but when I'm coaching individuals who are single, who are 30, 35, 40, 45, usually they need to love themselves more in order to be available for the kind of relationship they want. People who get together at a younger age often can learn that with one another. But anyway, from the vantage point of my professional experience and expertise and my personal experience with having lived another 3.5 decades since first encountering these ideas in college, I've come to understand the truth and the wisdom in saying that everyone wants to be happy. And really the problem is that very few people know how to actually do so. And in some ways, I could kind of get to the essence and summarize my work by saying I teach people how to be happy. I never talk about it that way. That's not really how I would do marketing, promotion, or represent my work, except in the context of this podcast episode. I want to be really transparent that that is actually the case. Now, before we dive deeper into Choose Happiness, I want to do a little bit of a review. One of the core principles that I teach on my podcast, in my book, in my social media shares, as well as in my paid programs and private coaching, is the idea that the key to a really fantastic dynamic relationship is uncompromising intimacy. And I talked about that in last week's episode. I've done a whole podcast on the topic, which I'll put in the show notes. And for right now, I just want to say that being uncompromising in the way that I mean it, in the context of deepening and amplifying intimacy, it's not about always getting your own way and being exacting. It's not that. It's just meant to point to the opposite of compromise, where compromise is when you hold back on what's true for you. You hold back on how you really feel about things, what you actually desire, so as not to have your partner be uncomfortable. And when I'm talking about uncompromising intimacy, I'm talking about bringing your whole truth, honoring yourself, your partner, and your relationship by sharing the fullness, whether it's just a whisper of a new desire or a really big pulsing passion and absolutely everything in between, that if you want to experience a really intimate relationship, then it's essential to learn how to bring yourself to that relationship. This episode is sponsored by the Aligned and Hot Marriage Program, my signature program designed for busy, educated couples who want to experience more closeness, more connection, and more passion. Go to alignedhotmarriage.com for all the juicy details. So in season 2 of the Intimate Marriage Podcast, and in the last few episodes specifically, I have been talking about the 6 keys to an intimate marriage. These are the 6 keys necessary for you to have a really fantastic relationship where you feel like you're yourself and that who you are continues to grow and expand and become ever more yourself through life's challenges, through life's beautiful opportunities, and that you get to really have a marriage which is large enough to contain all of that growth and honesty and truth. And so the way to enjoy such a delicious relationship is to learn about, employ, embody the 6 keys to an intimate marriage. Now, it may well be that someone has a fantastic marriage and is already doing all of these things without ever having heard about the 6 keys. But many people want, whether you're in a marriage that is unsatisfying in some ways and you want to make it satisfying, or you have a good marriage and you really want to expand and go to the next level, then it is very important to learn about the 6 keys to an intimate marriage, which is exactly what I cover in the Aligned and Hot Marriage program. In fact, the last few episodes and the next few, each one covers one of the topics that I go into in a lot more detail in the program. So today I'm focusing on the 4th key to an intimate marriage, namely choose happiness. And really, my goal is that in this episode, you hear things that you knew but hadn't quite articulated, or you expand and encounter things that you really have never thought of or felt before, and that you take that into your life, into your soul, into your relationship. And some of you are going to be inspired and go ahead and enroll in the Aligned and Hot Marriage program so that you can really take all of this much deeper, make it your own, transform your relationship, and experience what I'm talking about rather than just listening to it. So that's really the context. I want you to get so much from this podcast episode. And if you want more, you know that you can find it in the Aligned and Hot Marriage program. Now, when it comes to the 6 keys of an intimate marriage, I sometimes say that really all 6 are essential and you can do them in any order. You can learn to become masterful with the 6 in any order. They all overlap and really create a holographic result. However, I always start with cultivate curiosity because it really is the easiest one for, well, I haven't heard of it being more difficult than the others from any couples who've used and applied the tools that I'm teaching. So theoretically, it's possible. But from my point of view, cultivate curiosity is really the easiest key to make part of the culture of your marriage, to take the principles of cultivate curiosity and expand and grow and reap the rewards of the two of you being curious about one another and feeling more in love as a consequence. If you want to know more about that, by all means, scroll back a few episodes to the Cultivate Curiosity episode. Then I talk about embracing honesty. That's so important. And be kind, especially so that your honest communications can be received in a way that really works for both of you. And when it comes to choose happiness, the order actually does matter. I'm very intentional about speaking about choose happiness after I've already discussed cultivate curiosity, embrace honesty, and be kind in detail. And the reason is that if I just talked about choose happiness as the first key to an intimate marriage, there's a risk that you might think I'm encouraging you to compromise, that I'm encouraging you to choose happiness in a way that can mask denial of how you feel or what is going on, that can be faking things if you're not actually happy. That if you start with choose happiness, there's just too much risk that you're going to end up actually doing something that looks, tastes, and feels a lot like compromise. But when you have already been living with the first 3 keys to an intimate marriage, you've already cultivated curiosity, you're already embracing honesty, you're already being kind, then you and I can have a completely different conversation about choose happiness. Because when you have mastered or begun to master those other three keys to an intimate marriage, you have the freedom, the spaciousness, the internal choice to choose happiness. And that can be what you choose to do in a very uncompromising manner. So to summarize what I'm saying, if you just go straight for choose happiness, you're basically compromising because you're not honoring the truth that lives within you. But if you have embraced honesty and being kind, and you know how to embrace the truth within you, you know how to express yourself, you have the possibility of doing that. It's not that you're avoiding it in order to make your partner comfortable. Well, in that situation, it is totally empowering to choose happiness. It is an internal pivot when you're feeling unseen, feeling annoyed, feeling anything that is unpleasant to feel. From there, if you internally choose happiness, it is incredibly generative, energizing, rejuvenating, and absolutely a fantastic way to build uncompromising intimacy. So let me tell you a story about how this has worked. I coached a couple a number of years ago. I'm going to call them Darlene and Scott. Scott totally adored Darlene, but he didn't show it with romantic gestures. I don't know that he had ever bought her flowers before I coached them. He is super logical, very analytical, didn't catch nuance or the meaning when someone spoke and then changed the tone of their voice in order to indicate what they were referring to. He didn't catch those things. Scott actually is a genius who works for a tech company designing all kinds of robotics for the future that you and I will probably be using within 20 or 30 years. He is intellectually endowed. And again, he loves Darlene. Now, Darlene is juicy. She's expressive. She absolutely loves bright colored lipstick, sometimes red, sometimes purple, every now and then black. She is responsive. She's sensitive. She's connected with her emotions, and they often overflow. Watching movies, the tears come easily. She is really an incredible, vibrant woman. She also is a verbal processor, meaning when she's having experiences, whether they're wonderful and ecstatic or sad, depressing, challenging, either way, Darlene loves to talk it through. And Scott would listen, but he just wanted to get to the point because, again, he's logical, he's analytical, he would want to extract the essence, the relevant elements, and proceed from there, while she would like to continue to swim in the emotions of what it was that she was sharing. So if he would problem solve, well, let's not even talk about that because very early in our coaching, he understood that problem solving was not going to serve either one of them or bring them closer and actually was going to cause trouble. As a very intelligent man, he was able to understand that and change his behavior quite rapidly. So he wasn't going into problem solving when she would share things, but he would just be sitting there and listen. He was paying attention. If she would ever quiz him, he could give her all of the details because, as I say, he was paying attention. But he wasn't meeting her in her experience. He wasn't feeling the feelings with her in the way that she wanted. He wasn't really tracking the whole experience that she was conveying in terms of the emotional landscape that she was sharing. If we were to use attachment styles to talk about them, I would say that Scott has an avoidant attachment style and Darlene has an anxious attachment style, but I hope you can see that that's really oversimplifying the situation. But I thought that might be helpful to get a feeling for things, like if he has a problem, he withdraws and tries to handle it himself, whereas if he withdraws, she wants to get closer to him and be very transparent about whatever is emotionally happening in her soul. So the two of them did beautifully with cultivating curiosity. She needed to learn to listen more deeply, quite honestly, in order for it to be safe and interesting for Scott to share more. But anyway, they really did learn how to cultivate curiosity. Embracing honesty was not complicated for them. The main thing is that they needed to learn how to actually share with one another. And so while I coached them privately, they went through the Aligned and Hot Marriage program and really spent some time on the module on how to embrace honesty in order to like learn the technology of how to share with one another successfully. Being kind also was something that they could access. But when it came to choose happiness, it was actually really challenging for Darlene to even see the point of it, because she was thrilled with embracing honesty and having a context for sharing what was living in her soul. But Scott did not meet her and feel things with her. He was a separate person, interdependent, not codependent, and he didn't join her in those emotions, and it was something that she yearned for. But in this context, she learned to choose happiness. It wasn't that she was acquiescing to Scott being the way he is. She was able to express what she wanted, express her desire. She knew that he was really trying to learn how to meet her in her emotional abundance. And every time she shared, she did not want to get trapped in dissatisfaction with his response, especially because he was on a steep learning curve and learning more and more and more how to meet her in such a rich way. But he wasn't there yet. And so whenever they would have a particularly meaningful conversation, she experienced being faced with a choice. Whereas previously there was no choice. She would just feel disappointed and become resentful, and sometimes she'd say so, sometimes she wouldn't. But that was her response to that situation. When she learned to choose happiness, she was able to kind of see beyond what was happening, maybe like not an eagle's eye view, but what's like halfway between the granular level and an eagle's eye view. She was able to have more objectivity and see Scott loves her. He was paying attention. He's learning how to respond with a more emotional flavor. He's devoted to doing this work so that the two of them can be more connected in the ways that they both want to be. To get annoyed, to disconnect out of frustration at this point is just ridiculous. It's like he's learning to play a musical instrument. You can't resent him while it's still out of tune if he's practicing and improving. And so she learned to choose happiness. And yes, it is a pivot to be made in the moment to open up to a whole new possibility in those communications. There are a lot of things that she needed to work through herself and some very simple tools to use, which I go into in detail in the module on Choose Happiness in the Aligned and Hot Marriage Program. So if this feels intimidating or challenging, definitely enroll in the Aligned and Hot Marriage Program so that you can learn how to do this, because once you do, it really is a game changer. Darlene resisted this. Like, she is an empowered feminist, and she resisted needing to choose happiness in these moments. But once she was willing to use the tools that she learned, it was incredible. It was like she had a whole new outlook on their whole relationship and went from feeling kind of trapped and restricted in those conversations to feeling expansive, confident, and more open-hearted. So clearly, when she chooses happiness and feels so much better, Scott does too, and he becomes more relaxed and actually able to meet her emotionally in the way that she was craving in the first place. So it was just so amazing to see the two of them navigate this fourth key to an intimate marriage. I actually find like each couple has one, sometimes two of the keys that really trip them up. And once they get through it, the rest flow much more easily. It's just a matter of learning what's involved. And for Darlene and Scott, that definitely was choose happiness. So I really hope that this inspires you. As I've said before, I love hearing from you. If you go to my website, alexandrastockwell.com/contact, you can send me a message. I'd really love to hear what this touches in you and what your experience is in your relationship when it comes to choosing happiness. I'm really excited that next week we do the fifth key to an intimate marriage, which follows right on the heels of choose happiness. So I'm going to be a little bit of a tease and flirt with you and not tell you what the name of that will be. So definitely subscribe to the podcast. Keep an eye out. It'll drop next Wednesday, and you'll get to continue this beautiful journey to an intimate marriage at that time. Thank you for joining me on this episode of the Intimate Marriage Podcast. If you're ready to deepen your relationship and create a truly intimate, delicious, and vibrant marriage, head over to alexandrastockwell.com and choose the program that's right for you.